All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with the boys and their thoughts about their songs and of praise and thanksgiving. It's a real blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. We ask your blessing on your words. We thank you for them. Father, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom and help us to be faithful. Again, we just ask that you'd help us to do your will and bring glory and honor to you in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to begin in the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. This should be a verse that's familiar with us. It's one of those verses that we should be able to... One of the verses that comes into our mind often. There's several of them. It says there's that are this way, that kind of fit this. But this verse says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, know wisdom, that she may cut a straight path for you, and your foot will not stumble. Do not rely on your own discernment, but fear God and turn away from every evil, and there shall be healing for your body and care for your bones." I want to just stop right there. The main thrust is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And in King James it says, "And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." And this says, "In all your ways know wisdom." And that is what knowledge is, or that's what "in all your ways acknowledge Him." If you know wisdom, you're walking in His ways. You're aware. You're acknowledging His ways. And the point I'm trying to bring out this morning, and what I want to talk about: trust in the Lord with all your heart. If there's anything lacking today, it's a lack of trust. Faith, or just a lack of An inability just to trust. You know, whenever we start getting things start going wrong, or we start thinking, we see the clouds and we forget to trust. We forget that behind every cloud, the sun is still shining. I've asked you all before, I've asked the children before, on a cloudy day, if the sun is shining. And many times they'll just say, "No, the sun's not shining." And then I'll ask them again, "You mean the sun is not shining?" And then they'll think a little bit, and, "Well, of course the sun is still shining. There's just a cloud in the way that you can't see it. It doesn't alter. It always shines. Whenever it's at night, the sun is shining." That's... when it's on the other side of the earth, the sun is still shining. It doesn't just go from one end to the earth and then turn out and then go back to the other end. It shines all the time. Somewhere on the earth, the sun is always shining, whether we see it or not. Many times we go through dark times, troubling times, And sometimes we go through times we don't know what to do or where to turn. And everything's just falling in all around us. And we can panic and try to find an answer. Or we can just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not lean on what you see. Or not lean on what you understand. Or not lean on what you think. But trust in the Lord. There is such rest in that. And such peace in that. But we get so flustered. We get so troubled. And we begin to think that we have to find an answer. We have to find a resolution. That unrest is the heart of rebellion. That heart of unwillingness just to trust the Lord. That unrest is what causes problems in relationships. That unrest is what causes problems in homes. That unrest, that unwillingness just to trust the Lord. And leaning not to our own understandings is the heart of why people have church problems. We got to have an answer. We got to fix things right now. Instead of just trust in the Lord. I don't know how many times things have come up and somebody says, oh, we got to do something. We got to fix this. And we'll just say, let's just wait. Let's just wait and trust in the Lord. And let Him. And pretty soon something happens and the door opens up, or a path opens up, or a way opens up, and it's just taken care of, and all the fret and all the worry was just for nothing. When we could have had peace and we could have had rest and just trusted in the Lord all the way through it. And what a blessing that is. Just to trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes I meet old people, sometimes young, but most of the time we'll meet someone that's just an old man or an old woman that doesn't know a lot about what's going on in the world. They don't keep up with every little thing. They don't have all this knowledge that's all floating around everywhere. But they're just so full of wisdom. They just have a wisdom just to know how to deal with something without all of that knowledge. How much better that is just to have wisdom and have understanding and find where the heart of that wisdom and that understanding comes from is just trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Jesus said, the Bible says, I'm not sure, it says, without faith. Yeah, it's Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is very difficult to please the Lord. Without faith, you might not please the Lord. No, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. You know, we live in a world where faith is the heart of all religion. You just believe that God exists, or you believe that Jesus died on you, and that kind of faith, you're just saved. It don't matter how you live. That's not what it's talking about here. Faith is something that you have when you have nothing else. Trust and faith is what you have when you don't have any hope or anything visible or any evidence at all that would say what you have faith in is even right. But you still are able to rest because you know, like one of them said, in whom you have believed. We know in whom we have believed. And just to be able to rest in that. You know, sometimes this may not be a very exciting topic. It may not be a very exciting subject. But if without faith it's impossible to please God, all of those exciting things are absolutely worthless if you don't have the faith. Just to plod along and be faithful with faith and trust, that's what God is after. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, let's just begin up here in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." That is a challenge. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, if we would put this at the top of our to-do list, rejoice in the Lord always. And, you know, they say Ben Franklin, we were talking a little about him last night. He worked on one vice a day, he said, because he couldn't handle working on more than one a day. So he only focused on one vice or one thing to improve himself daily. If we would get this one down, most of the other things would just fall right into place. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, I don't know how, I just can't hardly stress enough of how much our attitude controls our life. How much our attitude controls our life. You know, you start having a bad day, you start thinking about all the things going wrong, or you think about the future, or you think about the trouble you're going through, and you start thinking about all those things, and it's amazing how they compound. It's like pushing the multiplication button in your mind. You start thinking about all the gloom and the doom and the bad things, and you just, well, push the multiplication button and put any figure you want to into it. Because that's where it's headed. And that's the way it works. And so the whole thing starts to look bad. And everything starts, and it just grows and grows and grows until it just wants to destroy us. Until it just wants to consume us. And it all started with one little thing. Instead of thinking and worrying about the future or what we have to do or what the things that are there, if we would just trust in the Lord and rejoice, it'd start going the other way. And it wouldn't matter what you go through. It wouldn't matter how hard it may look or what you're asked to do. You can do it rejoicing. And you can be happy whether anybody else is happy or not. You can be happy whether everything in the world falls apart. You can still trust in the Lord. And you can still rejoice. That one little thing is just, it turns the whole universe into light instead of darkness. Just that one simple little thing. You can't control your circumstances. You can't control your situations. You can't control your future. You can't control who's going to be thrown into your path. You can't control how other people are act. But you can control your attitude about it. That's the only thing you have in your power to control. Nothing else. Nothing else. You may be able to think you can fix something with your hands, but you know what? You may think you get it fixed. You may think you have everything just in all. You know, we like to have things in order. We build little boxes. We put things in this tub. We label it here and we write down everything. And we like to have things where you know where you can find it. You know, I like to put something where I know that I can reach it. And guess what? About half the time I go to get it and it ain't there. No matter how hard we try to situate things, it's a mess. And everything's just out of order. And if our trust and our hope is in everything being where it belongs, as soon as it's not where it belongs, we're all discombobulated. We're all messed up. We get disgusted and we get aggravated. Because our trust is in us being able to do something and fix things and make things in order. There's nothing wrong with order. But don't put your trust in that. Be able to rejoice in the Lord when everything is out of order. So often our happiness revolves around how orderly we have things, instead of rejoicing in the Lord and trusting in the Lord. It's amazing how many times I've seen people, they just go through life and you wonder, there used to be a saying, it's, how's it go? The idea is that people, they just go through life so haphazardly, so unconcerned, and the Lord just looks after them. They just somehow make it through life. They've made it however old they are without you bothering and worrying about them. They just fall through life and they just like walk and train goes right behind them this way and something goes in front of them this way and there's a big hole and they just happen to, somebody sticks a board and they walk right over the hole. Just, it just works for somehow. But you watch them and it's just the, and they're just going to have a calamity any minute. But they don't. The Lord just takes care of them. They're just simply trusting in the Lord. And we sit around and fret and worry and all of these things. And it's so much nicer just to trust the Lord. That's all He wants. It's impossible to please Him without that faith. He just wants, just trust me. That's the heart. That's the heart of what it takes to trust the Lord, to be a believer in God. And so we open the Bible and we find something that how He wants us to live. And we look at it not as a law, not as something we have to do, but we see the heart of what He wants and how He wants us to trust Him. Those two commandments: love God with all your heart, trust Him, listen to Him with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do anything to anyone that you wouldn't want them doing to you or for you. That's where all of the laws and all the commandments hang on, those things. It's an awareness that God is in control of everything and that I'm responsible to deal with other human beings in a way that's pleasing to Him. And when we're aware of those things, that controls how we respond and how we treat other people. And how we act. We're not going to steal something from them. Because we know we don't like that, wouldn't want that ourselves. We're not going to lie to them and deceive them, cause them hurt and pain, because that's not good. We don't want that for other people. But how many times are we just rude to people? Or how many times does the religion step in the way? And it don't matter what anybody else thinks or feels. I've got religion. I've got truth. So we've exalted ourselves to that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What are you worried about? What's about to fall apart in your life? What is it? You know, whenever we talk about prayer, we think, oh, Lord, fix this right now. That's not prayer. That's not prayer. Lord, take care of this problem, quick. That's not prayer. Prayer is whenever your mind trusts in God instead of your situation. We get all worried and we get all anxious. And you say, well, we'll pray about it. So we go home and say, okay, God, fix it. And then we get up and say, okay, God's going to take care of it. And then He doesn't fix it the way we want it fixed. That's not prayer. Prayer is whenever you can get to the place where you can say, Lord, here it is. However it turns out, I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to rejoice. That's when prayer is effective. That's when you don't have to be anxious about anything. You got problems with somebody? Somebody's a mess. Somebody's causing all kinds of problems. And you try to fix it. You know what happens? Boom. Just gets worse and worse and worse. But whenever you can rest through something and trust in something that's out of your control, you don't have to be anxious about it when you give it to the Lord. It's so hard for us just to let go of those things. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. You know, when we're troubled, when we're anxious, what more is there than peace? What do we really want out of life? If our souls can be at rest and have peace, that's when all the outside things don't really matter at all. But it's when those outside things begin to disturb that rest and peace, that's when they're getting a hold of us. But when we can have rest and peace, what do we want in heaven? Rest and peace. That's what the kingdom of God is about here. We can have that rest and peace and joy and long-suffering. Why do we need all the rest of that? Why are we worried about all the rest of that stuff? All of that rest of that stuff don't matter if you have rest and peace. And we can have that. We can have that right now. Rest and peace. And that's what he's talking about. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding. That don't make sense. How can you be so peaceful? How can you rest? All the things that are happening, all the things that have gone through in your life, all of those things. And you can just have peace. Wow. That's all He wants. That's all He wants for us. And that's all we need. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Okay. Dwell on your problems. Dwell on all the confusion. Dwell on all the darkness. Multiplication button times 10. Going the wrong way. Whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And you push the multiplication button times 10 the other direction. Most of the deceptions in the world come when people are multiplying on the wrong thing. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from sin. What do you walk in? All the problems that are in the world? All the corruption that are in the world? All the deceit that's in the world? No. You walk in the light. And that light's not anything you can just find in a book. The light is more than that. The book tells about the light, but it's just a bunch of letters put together. The Bible talks about the light, but the light comes from God. The light comes from above. The light comes from all the things that are pure and that are holy and that are good. The light comes when you see past the cloud and you trust. And you walk in the path that's right in front of you. Instead of worrying about how nice that path is over there. Or how bad the path may be in front of you. Or how bad you messed up the path behind you. You walk in the light. As He is in the light. Okay, most of the deception. That statement I made. Most of the deception in the world comes from people following something that is corrupt instead of the light. This world is corrupt. It's messed up. We all know that. But if we walk in the light, there's nothing that we need to fear from this world. No matter how deceitful it may be. No matter how corrupt it may be. But when we start trying to find the heart of this corruption, and we start looking into things that we ought not to be looking into, we're not looking at the light, we're looking at the darkness. And we're trying to figure the darkness out. Thinking that this is the way to truth. If I can just dispel all of this darkness out here, I will find truth. And what you do, it leads you in. Oh, wow, we're being deceived. I better go further. And it just draws you and draws you right in to darkness. And pretty soon, you find a discovery that no one else knows. And then you have truth. And you spend your whole life trying to show other people how this corruption has deceived everybody else. Instead of just walking in the light. Last weekend I met with a couple of boys that when we sat down, they started talking and I said, wait a minute. I said, I've talked to 100 people just like you. that have found some new form of truth, some new twist on everything, all of it different, but you have the exact same Spirit. Yeah, you've come up with the idea that all of Christianity is corrupt. Everything that we pick up, the Bible's tainted. It's been poisoned. Last night, a man on the street said, "You're believing the Bible. It's been rewritten. You've been deceived. It's been rewritten." And so the Bible's been rewritten. That's not what our faith is in. Our faith is in the Lord. And the truths that we find, whether they're in the Bible or wherever we find them, whatsoever is good. We know right and wrong and good when we see it. And it doesn't have to have Holy Bible stamped on it to make it that way. We know there's good and evil in the world. And if we will follow after that light, these boys, they said everything's been corrupted. Everything's been tainted. We can't trust anything. And I said, "You know what? You sit around on your hind ends all day. And you study on your computer and you're finding all this great knowledge and all this wisdom. And it's poisoning you. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up." And I said, "The Anabaptists." And he said, "Oh, those Anabaptists, that's just..." Started running them down. "They're just corrupt. They're just another corrupt form of Christianity." And I said, "Wait a minute. Those Anabaptists found a little piece of the Bible after living in darkness. They just found a little portion of it, or just heard about it. And they trusted in it. And they had faith in what the goodness that they found in it. The goodness that comes from above. And they died for it. And they suffered for it." And they said, "Oh, all religions have fights. And they kill each other." And I said, you're missing the whole point. These men found just a little bit of truth and they were willing to give their lives for it. And they almost mocked that because they found something. Because they have the luxury of having a computer, can find all this kind of stuff. And just support their unbelief. I told them, "You're nothing but a bunch of unbelieving Jews, Christ-rejecting Jews. That's all you are." And they just mocked the idea of someone just finding a little bit of truth and being simple and just trusting. They couldn't stand that. And they began to mock it. And I said, "Get out of here. You're going to mock simple people who find some truth and are willing to die for it and trust the garbage. I don't even want to hear another word you have to say. You're a Christ-rejecting Jew is all you are. People that have to find a conspiracy or something wrong with everything so that they can trust in that." I've told them, I've talked to hundreds of people like you. There's a group that, some of them that I've sat with that were with us for a while. The same Spirit, the same idea. Now they believe that the earth is flat. And they're promoting it. That the earth is flat. And that's the gospel now. That we've all been deceived. That everything we see is an illusion that makes us think that the earth might be round. Where does that come from? A lack of trust. And it's not the facts of all of it that matter. It's the It's the Spirit that's behind it. I found that we've been deceived and we're in corruption, and I'm going to pursue that instead of the things that are good and the things that are lovely, the things that are pure, and the light that God has given us to walk in. And so they're out there chasing all these evil conspiracies somewhere. Of course there's a conspiracy. There's a devil. And he's trying to confuse everything. Of course there is. We know that. Just accept it that simply. Yeah, it's messed up. I'm going to walk in the light. You don't have to worry about being deceived if you're walking in the light. There's nothing on earth that can hurt you walking in the light. Just like the verse that Peter talks about the women, that if a woman loves and trusts her husband and submits herself to him, nothing he can do to her will harm her. Why? Because she's trusting in the Lord. Circumstances? Yeah, they're bad. Painful? Sure, it's painful. Messing everything up? Yes, it is. But if your trust is in you trying to fix it, it's wrong. If your trust is you're gonna find the heart of the problem and fix it, no. You'll be deceived. You're headed down the wrong path. But if your solution is just to trust the Lord and just go through it and leave it in His hands, being anxious for nothing because you've actually released it and said, Lord, here is my situation. I get anxious. No. You give it away. Reckless abandonment to the Lord's will. Reckless abandonment to that the fact of the matter that there is a God in heaven that is in charge of everything. He's given man his own will to mess things up, confuse things. The devil can come in and have conspiracies against all of us. And there's a booger man behind every bush. And we can run around scared to death trying to find those boogeymen. Scared to do anything. Or we can just walk through this world knowing that there is a God in heaven that we can trust in and that will take care of us. And that whatever happens in our life, our faith is in Him, not in my circumstances. And I'm going to rejoice because He's good. And I'm going to be thankful because He knows what's best for me. You know, I've talked to old people and I listened to some of the things that they went through. The hard things that they went through when they were young. And that's what made them what they are today. They didn't like it. It hurt. They went to bed hungry. One old man that visited for a long time, he was 98 years old. He died this week. He grew up in a tent home. His father was a highwayman. And they would go build a highway. They'd build a mile, move the tent, live in that tent. Move the tent, build a mile of highway, move the tent. He went to 16 different schools before he was 12 years old. Just to come into a new town, and he was the new kid all the time. Rough men working on the highway way back then when they were building highways by hand and horses. And his dad was the foreman. One time an Indian turned and just cut him, took a knife out while they were taking a roll call in the morning, just took a knife and cut him across the chest. He went ahead and finished directing all the men. Took care of the man that had tried to cut him in half, and he went ahead and directed all the men. Got everybody set to their positions. Went to his tent and told his wife, I guess you're going to have to take me to the hospital. tough old man. Then one day, his dad went to work. This boy at 12 years old, and his dad never came home again. They've looked. They don't know where he is. They don't know what happened to him. Nothing. Just gone. 12 years old, and your dad just disappears off the face of the earth. They don't even have a clue. Maybe a couple of his men that he was working for was mad at him and just buried him under some concrete somewhere that they were pouring, making a road. They don't know. They've never found him. And at 12 years old, after living that kind of life, but he's a blessing. When he is an old man. All those bad things that happen to us, God gives them for a purpose. If those things that come into our lives, the little things, if we'll let them, they can make us a lot better man. Or they can make us bitter. That one little balance, that one little choice that you have about your attitude. You can trust or you can be skeptical. I'm not talking about being stupid, skeptical. About just going and believing everything comes along. We don't have to do that. God's given us wisdom. But whenever something is out of our hands and out of our control, we can trust. Not the situation, but we can trust the God who has all things in His hands. He knows about your problems much better than you. And He knows just what you need to learn to trust Him. He knows what school He needs to put you through to somehow get you to trust Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understandings. We don't have to figure everything out. That's been the downfall of this modern Christianity. Having to get down to the very depths of every little detail. And we miss. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We're not going to be given a test on the judgment day, how much knowledge we know, how well we knew the Bible. Our test is going to be, did you trust me? Did you believe me? You know, we've got our understanding of belief is when He says something, we just believe it. That's what faith is. When Jesus teaches us something, we want to just believe it. So we trust Him and we believe it. That's where faith is. That's what He's looking for. Not that we got it all figured out. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, to have eyes that see into eternity. That have eyes that see the sun. And that rejoice and be thankful in all things. Forgive us where we fail You, Lord. It's so easy to get discouraged. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything you want to share?